All right. Well, look, I have an amazing show. We are about to do what may be the most important interview I've ever done in my life. I have been spending an extensive amount of time talking to Geert Vandenbosch, the world famous scientist that is very, very concerned about this mass vaccination program. He's now being joined by other world renowned scientists that are starting to really come around to his perspective on this. But I'm going to get into the details like you have never seen anywhere else. The way the high wire does it, it's coming up just around the corner. But first, it's time for the Jackson Report. All right, Jeffrey, we got a lot to get to. So what's happening out there in the world of failing vaccines, immunity, and craziness?
Incredible stories. Failing vaccines are the story right now. The green light has been given to report on this, and report on this people are doing. So let's start in the United States here. Vermont, here's the headline. Vermont leads nation in new COVID cases and vaccination rate. It's the state with the highest vaccination rate in the United States, 73%. No reason given why the cases are spiking in that article, but let's go to Colorado. Same situation, same headline. What is driving Colorado's COVID surge? Not even the experts are sure. Nationwide, it says, coronavirus infections have declined from their peaks of earlier this fall, more recently leveling out. But in Colorado, one of the more heavily vaccinated states in the country, infections have risen, and no one is quite sure why. Quote, I don't have a great answer for that, and believe me, I'm looking. Dr. Rachel Harahy, the state epidemiologist, said last week, Well, it's not just happening in the United States. We're going to cover a bunch of headlines all over the world here. Let's go to Ireland. Ireland is one of the highest vaccinated countries as well. Ireland's county Waterford has one of the highest vaccination rates in the world. So why are cases surging? Waterford has both the highest vaccination rate and the highest COVID incidence rate in Ireland. It says a massive 99.5% of adults over the age of 18 in Waterford are double jabbed. That's thought to be one of the highest rates in any region anywhere in the world. In the article, they start to speculate. It says it's partly due to a change in people's behavior. The country's deputy PM went on CNN and said it's because of the 5% unvaccinated that are causing a lot of the problems. So here we go. Now, unfortunately, this next place, this is Gibraltar. This is a British territory off Spain's coast. They don't have the luxury of blaming the unvaccinated because they're not there. So here's the headline. Gibraltar cancels Christmas celebrations amid COVID spike. Gibraltar has vaccinated 140% of their population. How is that possible? Because of booster vaccines and also because of workers going back and forth. But basically, you're walking around there with no one unvaccinated. And that's the headline. That is one of the biggest headlines out of the last couple of days. Belgium. Now, let's hear from a doctor in Belgium. This was taken off their news. It's subtitled, so you have to read it. But it's pretty interesting what's happening there as well. Check it out.
Okay. Voor wie trouwens zou denken dat de intensieve zorg nu vol ligt met niet-gevaccineerden, dat klopt niet langer.
Bij ons op dit moment zien wij toch wel een grote meerderheid zogenaamde doorbraakinfecties. Dat is anders dan een aantal weken geleden, toen wij inderdaad een meerderheid niet-gevaccineerde patiënten op intensieve hadden. Op dit moment is dat niet meer zo. De patiënten die wij in GZA nu op intensieve hebben liggen, ik heb het gisteren nog nagekeken, die zijn eigenlijk allemaal gevaccineerd.
Wow, all of the patients in the ICU are vaccinated. Incredible statement.
I mean, I haven't seen the headlines, pandemic of the vaccinated yet, but I mean, are we there? This is the question we have to ask. India, we've covered India a lot. This is a state in India, Kerala. It's located on the southwest portion of India. And the headlines coming out of there read like this: Kerala breakthrough infections account for most COVID-19 cases. And it says in the article, Kerala has been leading India's COVID-19 outbreak for several months. The state accounts for over 50% of the nationwide active cases and comprises 60% of the daily cases. It continues and it says, of the 1.19 lakh is basically a unit of measurement. It means 100,000 reported between October 19th to November 2nd, nearly 68,000 cases or 58% involved cases where the patient had received one vaccine dose, 23%, or both, 35%. shocking headline there. But now let's talk about a study out of India looking at some vaccines. Now, typically, we see a lot of studies, we have covered them on natural immunity, but a lot of these studies never look at natural immunity compared to a vaccination in the same study. This one did. Immunity following COVID-19 vaccination and natural infection in India. Let's go right to that study. They looked at neutralizing antibody responses of 240 people in Kolkata. This is a city in India, about 15 million people. And what they looked at AstraZeneca's vaccine, its COVID shield, and Covaxin. This is India's indigenous vaccine that's made there, uses a dead virus. So I guess that would be like old vaccine technology in the age of gene therapy at this point, mRNA technology. And the researchers say both COVID shield and Covaxin, however, are more effective towards the wild type. Remember, that's the original virus than the Delta variant. Moreover, the overall immune response resulting from natural infection in and around Kolkata is not only to a certain degree better than that generated by vaccination, especially in the cases of the Delta variant, but cell-mediated immunities, the SARS-CoV-2, also lasts for at least 10 months after the viral infection. Now, again, this is natural infection is superior to both the vaccines with producing cellular immunity. Incredible results.
Wow, that's incredible. And it's something, obviously, it's not a surprise to people watching the High Wire, but we're getting so much validation now on what we have been talking about since this vaccine was released. We knew it wasn't going to stop infection. We knew it wasn't going to stop transmission. But this statement that it was going to reduce symptoms, even that appears to be falling apart when you start hearing 100% of the ICU in a hospital is filled with the vaccinated. That doesn't sound like people that are having reduced symptoms. You're not in ICU having no symptoms. And so clearly, this entire mythology built around this vaccine unicorn, as we called it very early on, is crumbling down around them.
And let's go back to just February of this year, 2021. The CDC appeared to be working to cover or hide the fact that natural immunity is working. This was uncovered by Cheryl Atkinson, investigative reporter on her show Full Measure Nude. Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massey found some very interesting discrepancies between what the CDC data was being published and what was actually in the data that was published to the public. Take a look.
All right.
An award-winning scientist himself, Massey quickly found that vaccine studies showed no benefit to people who've had coronavirus. Vaccination didn't change their odds of getting reinfected. The controversy began when Massey noticed the CDC was claiming the exact opposite. CDC's Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices had just issued a high-profile report authored by 15 scientists. It wrongly claimed Pfizer's study proved the vaccine is highly effective or showed consistent high efficacy for people who'd already had coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2.
It says the exact opposite of what the data says. They're giving people the impression that this vaccine will save your life, even or you know, save you from suffering, even if you've already had the virus and recovered, which has not been demonstrated in either the Pfizer or the Moderna trial.
I mean, it's amazing just seeing this conversation on the heels. I mean, here we are with our FOIA request we just talked about at the beginning of the show. So this is back in February. Clearly now we're saying the same thing. Like, where is your evidence that, you know, someone vaccinated is doing better than the naturally infected? Because the naturally infected better be infecting somebody, and you better have proof of that, or start setting these people free and celebrating what natural infection is offering to this nation and the world.
Right. And remember, at that time, as it's still true, the debate around natural immunity was absolutely raging because people were starting to be, you know, coerced into these vaccines as it was rolling. And so he went up the chain. Congressman Massey went up the chain at the CDC. And you can watch the full episode at Full Measure News. But the people he talked to were saying, yes, you caught our error. We will change it. We will change it. It went 2 months, basically, before anything was really done. And it took a call to, at that time, Director Anne Schulcott at the CDC for a difference to be made. So here's what that phone call sounded like in this recording.
Okay.
Some of the agency's response was summed up during Congressman Massey's final call with CDC this past week. It was with CDC Principal Deputy Director Anne Schulcott.
I feel like right now we have the tail wagging the dog, that the folks who want to do the messaging, the folks who want everybody to get the vaccine, have pressured the folks who are doing the science, i.e. reviewing the phase three trial from Pfizer not to correct the document, but the document is false. So the CDC can do whatever messaging they want. That's the CDC's job, not my job, but they cannot propagate false and incorrect science. So that's my position. And I'm really disappointed it's gone on a month without being fixed. Like, really disappointed.
As you note correctly, there is not sufficient analysis to show that in the subset of only the people with prior infection, there's efficacy. So you're correct that that sentence is wrong and that we need to make a correction of it. I apologize for the delay.
CDC has now issued a correction. But Massey and other scientists we ask say the new wording still wrongly implies studies show vaccines work in people who've had coronavirus.
And instead of fixing it, they proposed repeating it and just phrasing their mistake differently. So at that point, I consider it a lie. I think the CDC is lying about the efficacy of the vaccine based on the Pfizer trials for those who've already had the coronavirus.
I mean, that's amazing, and it doesn't look like anything's changed. I mean, I think everyone watching this is saying, I never saw an announcement that natural infection seems to be, you know, strong and effective on CNN, MSNBC. Where's the CDC in stating this? So all the way back from February, this report, brilliantly done by Cheryl Atkinson, who's a great investigative reporter that has never stepped down or stepped out of the way of a controversial topic. So hopefully everyone will go and watch the depth of that, which also included many other phone calls, right? I mean, he worked his way up, so you get to hear phone calls from many other directors that are all promising him things and not delivering. So it's incredible now looking back and seeing where we're at right now.
Right. And speaking of looking back and seeing where we're at right now, Tony Fauci was interviewed by the New York Times recently, and it sounded like an episode of The High Wire about 5 or 6 months ago. Take a listen to this.
All right.
We're starting to see waning immunity against infection and waning immunity in the beginning aspect against hospitalization. And if you look at Israel, which has always been a month to a month and a half ahead of us in the dynamics of the outbreak, in their vaccine response, and in every other element of the outbreak, they are seeing a waning of immunity, not only against infection, but against hospitalizations and to some extent death, which is starting to now involve all age groups. It isn't just the elderly. So if one looks back at this, one can say, do you know, it isn't as if a booster is a bonus, but a booster might actually be an essential part of the primary regimen that people should have.
I am sitting here trying to take deep breaths so I don't scream, as I think most of the people watching this show. How is this man still in charge? What an absolute failure. What a disgrace of science. What a disgrace as a human being. There's nothing this man that has said has ever come true. He has been dead wrong and changing his perspective every single week through this pandemic. He's destroyed our lives. He promised us a vaccine, told us we could reach herd immunity, told us it would take 2 shots. Now, oh, I always meant 3 shots, told us we didn't need a mask, shouldn't wear a mask. Now I got to be a mask. I mean, it is so insane. If you ever, you know, one day we'll all have to, the history books, I hope, once we write the true history of what happened here, we'll just have an entire chapter of watching this, you know, series of lies that misled the world, and ask ourselves how the greatest nation in the world kept following one of the biggest morons of all freaking times.
That's right. And he's straight up lying there, because we are not starting to see waning immunity. We're not starting to see dropping antibodies. We started to see them the second the trials were done and this EUA was. We've been covering that on our show each week.
Right.
The fact that he's saying that, we've been covering Israel as well, and so have many other people. So the fact that he's saying we're just starting to see now in Israel, no. It's because of the booster conversation, and that's what's happening right now. Boosters Worldwide is the title of this segment, is really okay. What's happening. So this is Britain. Headline, Brits will need three jabs to be considered, quote, fully vaccinated, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Now Forbes goes even further. They're not even putting a number on it, just like herd immunity. Right. How long will the booster last? This is what they're saying. That's the headline. And it says here in the article, it may turn out that the term, quote, booster, end quote, is a bit of a misnomer, and that the correct number of shots for maximum efficacy isn't yet known. That's yeah. great. But great. I saved the best for last here. This is one of the biggest admissions we've probably reported on this show. A turnaround, a change in goalpost, whatever you want to call it. LA Times, this is the headline. Put it in a frame. This is historical. CDC shifts pandemic goals away from reaching herd immunity.
Oh, my God. Huh? I mean, the home, all right. This before we even go any further, the home of SB 277, the paper that supported Senator Richard Pan, who said over and over again, I'm going to take away your rights to decide what's injecting your children because of community immunity, because of herd immunity, community, herd, community, herd, community, herd. We heard it so much. This is an entire purpose of a vaccination program. And now LA Times itself is admitting, as it turns out, the CDC is giving up on the concept of herd immunity. I mean, it's right. incredible where we've come. I mean, and how many channels, how many YouTube, how many Facebook channels have we been kicked off of for telling the world this thing is never going to reach in herd immunity? In fact, it's getting in the way of herd immunity. That's right. When am I getting my channels back? When is it the high wire will be held up and the world will say, you know what? There was one news network that had it right the whole damn time.
Let's listen to the LA Times talk about this. And keep in mind, herd, kind of slightly, it's a slightly insulting term. They didn't get that memo. It says here, since the earliest days of the pandemic, there has been one collective goal for bringing it to an end, achieving herd immunity. Many Americans embrace the novel farmyard phrase, and with it, the projection that only that once 70% to 80% or 85% of the population was vaccinated against COVID-19, the virus would go away and the pandemic would be over. Now the herd is restless, and experts at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have set aside herd immunity as a national goal. Well, isn't that interesting? Now, it says here, this is what they're going to go towards. Instead of specifying a vaccination target that promises an end to the pandemic, public health officials hope to redefine success in terms of new infections and deaths. And they'll surmise that herd immunity has been achieved when both remain low for a sustained period of time. You see nothing in that sentence of dates, of concrete anything. It's just no. gobbledygook, nebulous talk. And remember, so now for people keeping track at home, the CDC has changed the definition of herd immunity. The CDC has changed the definition of a vaccine, and they're going to change, or they're considering changing, the definition of what it means to be vaccinated with these boosters coming out. So how many times can we change the goalposts without raising a red flag here?
Apparently, I guess, infinitely. I mean, infinite boosters in our future, as Forbes said. You know, we just don't know the number. We don't know how many times we're going to have to change definitions. And, you know, that idea that we're going to monitor, well, herd immunity will just be when the amount of deaths is low and the amount of serious infections, meaning after everybody's been killed by our mistakes and there's barely anyone left, we've achieved. We're there. Oh my
well,
God.
States are moving on their own now for this booster, and it's because apparently they're frustrated, reads the headline. So this is what's looking like right now. Some frustrated states don't want to wait for the FDA, for FDA, expand COVID-19 vaccine booster eligibility to all adults. That's Arkansas, California, Colorado, New Mexico, West Virginia, and New York City as the time of reporting right now. FDA is supposed to meet on this in the coming days, and the federal government, Biden administration, is also talking about doing a nationwide booster push. But let's bring it back to a topic or a headline we covered from the New York Times just a couple months ago. And we're seeing all of these headlines fawn over the idea of a booster. What a great idea. This is what the reporting looked like just, again, a couple months ago. New study of COVID booster shots, fans debate over benefits. We have a debate. And it says, what the Israel data show is that a booster can enhance protection for a few weeks in older adults, a result that is unsurprising, experts say, and does not indicate long-term benefit. What I would predict will happen is that the immune response to that booster will go up and then it will contract again, says Marion Pepper, an immunologist at the University of Washington in Seattle. But is that 3 to 4 month window what we're really trying to accomplish? It goes on. In younger people, officials must balance the limited benefit of a third dose with the risk of side effects like blood clots or heart problems, researchers said, and repeatedly stimulating the body's defenses can also lead to a phenomenon called immune exhaustion, Dr. Pepper said. There's that word again. She goes on to say, there's obviously some risk in continuously trying to ramp up an immune response. She said, if we get into this cycle of boosting every 6 months, it's possible that this could work against us. And that's apparently where we really are. I guess New York Times is, right into it. And now I guess some of the biggest news as well on top of this booster push is Austria. Austria became the first country to lock down the vaccinated. This is officially locked down the vaccinated. I'm sorry. Yes, the unvaccinated. There was a slip there. Austria locks down most of the unvaccinated, unleashes heated debates, discussions across Europe about how to tackle the latest COVID-19 surge. So we're looking at Austria's Austria, the UK is talking about it. France is talking about it now. Same thing, locking down the unvaccinated. Italy, Czech Republic, and Slovakia have announced they would be doing it. But let's look at a chart from Austria just to give you an idea of how great their measures work. Now, this was out of Twitter. And you can see here, their cases on the far right are surging to the highest they've ever been. And that includes mask mandate for indoor locations, N95 mask mandate, and expanded mask requirements plus enforcements. So this is basically their vaccine, their mask mandate, their lockdowns, their heavy-handed enforcements. And now they're locking down the one population that is unvaccinated. And Del, as we're going to air, some breaking news here just came in. Austria has announced that they will also be locking down the vaccinated. So I think that's where my slip came from. I had that in my head. So wow. Now full lockdown in Austria. So all of these countries that were gleefully ready to follow Austria's lead to lock down the unvaccinated, I am curious if they're going to change their tune now. Are we looking at full lockdown across Europe at this point? I'm not sure, but these are the headlines we're looking at right now as they're breaking.
And man, I mean, I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but as you talk about Vermont, all of these highly vaccinated states and countries around the world are seeing this happening with COVID. So then it really makes you wonder. We were sort of being lulled into this lullaby that we're coming to the end of this. The vaccine was working. And now as we look around the world, it appears that we may be, you know, sliding down into a really dark place. And the officials in charge are just going to use the same old rhetoric that hasn't worked until now. In fact, has put us in this position. So I think we should all prepare for some challenging times ahead. Great reporting, Jeffrey. All of that so important to set up the interview that I'm about to have with Geert Van den Bosch. So thank you for that work. And you know, it's next week is Thanksgiving. So have a great Thanksgiving, would you?
All right. Thank you, Del. You too.
All right, take care, Jeffrey. Okay, well, coming up is, as I've said, perhaps, you know, maybe one of the most important interviews I've ever done in my career. There's the moments in a career in, you know, reporting and in television where you know you've got a very special story and you just want to make sure you get it right. Certainly when I came across the documentary, which ended up becoming Vaxxed, that was a moment in my life where I just thought, I'm so glad I have the abilities that my life has brought me to this position that I can be a part of something that I think really may change this conversation around the world. And indeed, I think in many ways, Vaxxed did that. Now, on the high wire, about 8 months ago, we have shown you, we've interviewed many, many world-renowned scientists, and not to take away from how brilliant they are or how great they are or the messages that they had to convey or how brave they were to bring those messages, but we brought you the story of Geert Van den Bosch 8 months ago, who was coming forward to really explain, though he had made vaccines his whole life, was a vaccinologist and immunologist, really had this wide array of talents that brought him to a conclusion and was making this plea that we should all listen to him. About the mass vaccination program and why it was not the right approach. I have broken down many of other people's interviews of Geert Van den Bosch. And that whole time we were trying to reach out, trying to make contact. I think there was some reticence because of the high wire and some of the things we've covered. And other scientists, they have to warm up to the idea you've been called anti-vax. They look at our Wikipedia page. All of these different conversations are out there. But slowly as we share these things, we finally made contact with Geert Van den Bosch in person, who said, we are running out of time, and I would appreciate anybody that will help me tell this story. Now, when we got together and said, how are we going to cover Geert Van den Bosch, Of course, we could do what we usually do, which is a live interview where I just ask the questions and you get to, you know, see the answers in real time. But the truth is Geert has already done that interview multiple times. We've shared those interviews. We've shared those Zoom calls amongst multiple scientists. But you're not seeing the evidence when he's doing that. You're not getting to see the documents that he's talking about, that this isn't just his own idea. It's based in science that's being done around the world that nobody is looking at. And so we decided to take, you know, a little bit more time and care with this. And in fact, for me to do this, as you saw in the opening, we spent hours and hours in Zoom calls with Geert VandenBosch just so that me and my team could truly understand exactly the nuanced details of what he's talking about so that we might help you understand it. We all have busy lives, folks. I get it. We all want to believe that the world is being taken care of for us. And there's no way that world-renowned scientists, the CDC and FDA, no matter how greedy or how much, you know, interaction with pharmaceutical companies is really going on, they're never going to make a mistake big enough to start wiping out large swaths of our species. Certainly someone would jump in there. Well, what I want you to do is I want you to put all of that chatter in your mind aside. I want you to sit down, and if you're driving your car right now, and you usually listen to this podcast while your kids are fighting in the backseat, maybe you should wait so that you can really give this interview the right attention. Because if we do not understand what is about to be said, if this understanding does not permeate the minds and souls of the world right now, we could truly be in a dire situation. So with all of the caveats in the world or whatever I have to say, please bring your attention now to a work that has taken us a couple of weeks to put together with Geert VandenBosch. I truly believe that his voice needs to be heard. We need to listen, and we need to act accordingly. Here is our interview